We've been talking about our real purpose, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we will read a few verses here. Verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. So here we're talking about the love of Christ constraining us, and talking about Christ. What was his purpose? Well, he had a twofold purpose. His primary purpose is to come back and reign as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He's going to reign on this earth. But he come back and died for sinners. He come to this earth and died for sinners. And to reconcile the world to him. Remember we talked about the garden, in the Garden of Eden, the fall of man with Adam and Eve. And again, not Adam and Steve. And by the way, it was Adam and Eve. And just like he told Noah to take a pink one and a blue one on the ark, that's what we still need today, is pink ones and blue ones, not purple and gray and green and whatever they think they are. They're still pink and blue, amen. But Adam and Eve had fell in the garden. Adam sinned against God, and that brought a curse upon the earth, and it brought a curse upon man. And if we live in a sin-cursed earth, and we have a sin-cursed body, we're not created in the image of God. You'll hear people say that. People don't read their Bible. Oh, we're created in the image of God. No, we're not. Adam was created in the image of God. If you read the book of Genesis in chapter number 5, it says Adam had children in his image. Adam was in a fallen state when he had children. And, you know, you can argue about, you know, this timeline and his kids and all this stuff and when he fell. But when he fell, there was no mention of any kids. There was a mention of a curse that was brought on this earth. And we are born with a sin nature of Adam. We're all created in the image of God, and God loves everybody, and God, you know, God's angry with the wicked every day. And God, you know, God's just a big old fluffy Santa Claus you hug on, and he never gets mad and all that. Well, you might want to read your Bible again. You might want to read Genesis chapter 6. You might want to read about Sodom and Gomorrah. You might want to read Revelation. You might want to read what happened when, just go all through the Bible. You can see God's still a God of judgment. But that sin-cursed earth, the thorns and thistles that we deal with, and you know, of course, we've sissied our way out of it. We go to the grocery store for everything. Yeah. Part of the reason that man's in such a mess is they try to get out of doing anything. Yeah. They don't want to do anything. They want everything handed to them, and it's like you buy a loaf of bread that's set in your cabinet for 4 weeks, and it looks the same as it was. It's just as poisonous 4 weeks later as it was when you first bought it, man. It's just garbage. And you know, like the old boy said, the whiter the bread, the quicker you're dead, right? Because that stuff doesn't have any value to it. The homemade bread that has the good oils from the seeds and stuff in it that lasts a day or two and it starts to, you know, get hard and funky and rancid and taste different, that's the good bread. Now, Jesus Christ is not the bread of life that from Wonder, the Wonder truck that has all the preservatives in it. He's unleavened. He's the good bread. He's the bread that's not tainted with the hands of man. But that curse of this earth, on this earth, the thorns and thistles, Jesus Christ reconciled the world unto him. He paid that sin debt for the whole world. He actually paid the debt for the earth. That crown of thorns on his head, he comes back and reigns as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. When he's King of Kings on this earth, this is a regenerated earth. He can do that because he paid the debt. So we're looking at reconciliation, and it says in verse 18, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." Now here's the thing. I'm going to say this, and you're going to probably think, that sounds crazy, but bear with me. If it weren't for the Baptists, the whole world could just go to hell. Yeah. There's nobody telling anybody how to get to heaven anymore. There really isn't. None of these churches are preaching it. Most of them aren't teaching it. And the ones that do are disgruntled Baptists that have changed their name. Yeah. And look, I'm a Bible believer before I'm a Baptist, but God has given us a ministry of reconciliation. And that's to reconcile people to God. See, sin and iniquity had separated man and God. And there's a reconciliation. That reconciliation is through the blood of Jesus Christ, through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, through the gospel, the good news of Paul's gospel, amen. And there's just nobody giving the gospel anymore. You hear these folks, and even that silly woman, charismatic woman that supposedly led Trump to the Lord, you never hear him give the gospel. It's just like Jesus Christ is a salt and pepper shaker, and just sprinkle a little bit on here and there. But you never hear him. You never heard Trump say one time, forget Trump and Biden. They're not going to save this place. Jesus Christ is going to come back. He's going to rule and reign here. He's going to burn this place to the ground, start a new one, without sin, without a hell here, without all that stuff. But you never heard anybody say, well, yeah, he realized he was going to die and go to hell, and he got saved. You just hear about, well, you know, maybe, you know, he's talking about God now. Well, everybody's talking about God. The atheists talk about God. Amen. But the ministry of reconciliation is telling people, and look, the reason I think that most people get out of this stuff and they don't want anything to do with it, they want to sit in a church where they can just be comfortable and live a lifestyle evangelism and never have to get out of their comfort zone and just try to, I just want to live Jesus, man. You heard that? I just want to live Jesus so people can see Jesus in me. Well, God has given us a Bible. And that Bible says we have a ministry of reconciliation. We're going to talk about that ministry and what that ministry really is. The Bible says in Romans 10:17, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Romans 10:17. Faith. Where does it come from? The word of God. So I think we got a lot of people out here that think they're saved. They're lost. They're going to split hell wide open. You know why? They've never heard the word of God. They've never heard the word of God. That's why we have a track rack. It contains Scripture. And what's the Scripture do? I mean, hey, look, you've got a Bible believer standing here. I don't believe everything all the other Bible believers believe just because they believe it, but I believe the Bible. And that Bible says that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So I could go to Kroger and say, "Isn't God good?" and tell him about four or five blessings and tell him about church and even mention the King James Bible. And those people go, yeah, God's good. And they walk right out of there just lost they were. And they got no hope of getting saved. You know why? Because nobody's told them that they're a sinner. For all of sin to come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Nobody's told them that that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again, and he done it for them. Nobody's told him he shed his blood, and it's that only that blood atonement that can get them right with God and get them to heaven. And you leave them thinking, well, they must be a pretty good person. They probably do some pretty good works. Maybe I ought to try to do a little more works. Instead of understanding it's all Jesus Christ. You get over there to Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in the heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's where the rubber meets the road. You believe that you're a sinner. You believe he died, was buried, and rose again. And then you get to Romans 10:13, and I don't care what anybody on the internet says. There's nothing wrong with calling on the name of the Lord. If you're convicted in your heart, you will call on the Lord. That calling doesn't save you, but it shows you that you're convicted. It shows that there's a repentance. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm so sick of this stuff. People wanting to rightly divide and get a pen knife out here and just cut this there and there. That Bible says you call on Jesus Christ for salvation. Your calling don't do it. What it does is your heart says, all right, now I am in a position where I need to trust him. It just shows you're trusting him. Your words didn't save you. It's his blood that saved you. Your words didn't save you. It's the death, the burial, and the resurrection that saved you. And there are a lot of people out there, well, I believe Jesus was a good man. I believe he's a prophet. I believe he died on Calvary. I don't believe he rose again. Well, if there's no resurrection, there's no salvation.
Right.
You're alive in the power of the resurrection if you're saved. So, this Bible tells us we have the ministry of reconciliation. Now, how do we do that? How do we reconcile people to God? Well, here it is. So then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You give them the Word of God. You give them the Word of God. You know, quoting Scripture to them is good. Getting them in church so they can get preached, that's good. Hand them a Bible tract that's got Scripture on it, they can take and put it in their pocket and take it home. That's real good. I'll tell you why that's real good. I've had them ignoring me and not hearing anything I'm saying and stick that in their pocket.
Yeah.
I mean, they're listening, but they're not listening. They really would rather be getting their milk out of Kroger or whatever. They really don't care, but they got the Word of God in their pocket. And I usually give them at least a Bible verse or something. Hey, you know, that Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's not your works. Ephesians 2:8-9, check it out. It's the finished work on Calvary. Give them something to think about. And then they've got that in their track, and they go on about their day. Then it's up to God. It's all Him anyway, but we have to make a choice whether we're going to do what He's called us. We're going to fulfill the ministry of reconciliation. So they've got the Word of God in their pocket, some Scripture. So they take it home, and who knows? They get sick, they can't make it to work, the car breaks down, whatever, they start reading that. Or they lay it on the dresser and their wife reads it. Or it gets in the laundry basket and one of their kids finds it. You don't know what God's going to do with that stuff. But they've got the Word of God. And faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word. So then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10:17. We have the ministry of reconciliation. We're going to go back through this again a little bit. But we do have these. And these are great tracts for Baptists because the Baptists are always eating somewhere. Thank you for your hospitality. Amen. The One Door, Spanish tract. We just got these here a while back. The One Door. We've got other ones down there. You can't throw a rock without hitting somebody that come across the border that speaks Spanish now. I can be debt free. That's every American could use one of those. 99% of Americans are in debt. Amen. And you go to the poorer neighborhoods. I don't like that word class, low class, middle class. I don't like that word class. That's baloney. That's a communism name. But you go to the lower income places, and that'll get their attention. Amen. And you've got this true victory for the veterans, and the veterans are running around all over the place wearing veterans' hat, and there's an open door. So the door's open. There's always an open door, seems like, you know, to witness. And like I say, hand these to the waiter or waitress or whatever, or put them on the table with a tip, or, you know. And I like to just give it to them and say, hey, you know, the second, third, fourth time we see the same person that week, right? Second, third, fourth time you have to eat at the same place. I just leave it on the table. But at least once, I try to, you know, a lot of times the Lord says, give it to them. Give it to them. Say, hey, you saved. I want to appreciate what you do for us. I thank you for what you're doing for us. How about what Jesus Christ did for us? You know, just something. There's an open door. You know, the veterans, like I said before, you know, hey, thank you for your military service. Thank you for your sacrifice. Appreciate you and your family and what you sacrificed. Let me tell you about the greatest sacrifice ever made. Bam. And now they're going to take that. 99% of the time, they'll just take it. You know. Standing in the grocery store, and somebody says, good night, I can't believe that ketchup's $5 a bottle. So I can't believe you got it in your cart. $5, amen. We'll just squeeze some tomatoes before we do that. But, so yeah, it's crazy. You know, this whole, you're going to be so far in debt just to eat anymore. But you can be debt-free for eternity. I mean, there's a million different ways to get in there. And I told you last week, I think, about this handing these Spanish tracts out. And, you know, a lot of folks come over here, they still can't speak English hardly at all. They can say thank you or something like that. But, you know, I hand this guy over at Kroger, and I mean, they look like they just come over here. You can see, they just look like they're out of their element. Like they're just trying to, you know, survive here and whatever. So I hand it to them, say, Jesus Cristo El Salvador, and they go, oh, thank you very much. And I'm like, you know, it's funny because, you know, I'm talking to people that come across the border that speak better English than I do. But most all of them can speak and read Spanish. And this is their native tongue, if you will. And they'll read that. A lot of times they'll read that and throw that one away. We also have the tracts out there that to my Spanish friend or to my Catholic friends, which you can almost 99.9% sure that they're Catholic if they come from Mexico, because that's almost what you have to be down there. There are some Baptists and some other folks down there, but you know, we've got all kinds of opportunities to hand tracts out. But the ministry of reconciliation, it's just easier to say, well, I'm just going to go to church, put in my time, put something in the plate, and forget about it. But the judgment seat of Christ is going to work. That's not going to work at the judgment seat of Christ. It's not going to work. It's actually getting out of your comfort zone. And if you're always just trying to be comfortable, not do anything for the Lord, and just try to scrape by, that's not going to work at the judgment seat of Christ. He's going to say, well, what about, you know, especially now, you're on the hook now because I'm telling you straight out at church. Amen. So if you never thought about it before, this is going to be replayed probably at the judgment seat of Christ. Amen. Say, good night. That's torture right there. Yeah.
And he said, God said, it's time for you to come in. I mean, we just want to celebrate.
So he got saved.
God saved and baptized.
Amen. Amen. Because a lot of them are getting them wet and not getting them saved, too.
Yeah.
So we've got to be careful about that.
Yeah,
good deal.
Oh, man.
Good deal. Amen. Amen. Well, yeah, that's great. I mean, there's opportunities everywhere. I mean, they're just opportunities everywhere. That's great. That's good stuff. You hear somebody getting saved. I mean, there's somebody that's never going to have to worry about burning in hell. Amen. And then you've got, you know, you got a lot of people that reject, might mock and ridicule, but you don't know. You might see them in heaven one day anyway. People we're praying for that just seem like they're just knuckleheads and don't want to listen. They might be there. Some of them are going to be there. Some of them in their, you know, in their secret place at home when they lay down at night and they realize that they are wicked. And that Jesus Christ is God, and He is good, and He did shed His blood. There are going to be a lot of folks, I believe, that just get saved and don't tell anybody about it. You know, or tell very few people about it. They tell one or two people and get some flack, so they quit. But, you know, this is the reason that a lot of preachers want to compare Christianity to wars, because this is war. And you're looking at, you know, a lot of preachers want to read, and I've read some stuff on General Patton and MacArthur and those guys, and, you know, Ulysses S. Grant and General Lee and all this stuff. Read a little bit on these guys. They were leaders in battle. You know what they did? When they took a position and they went to fight, they encouraged people to keep fighting. And ultimately, they win the battle. Most of the time, you know, they can encourage the people to. And the thing is, you've already won the war if you're saved, but the battles are what you're fighting here. And the battles are what, how you fight and whether you stay in the battle is what determines what you end up with at the judgment seat of Christ. And I don't want to be the guy where you're like, well, that stinking preacher never told me about the judgment seat of Christ. And you're at the other end of it with, like, there's a speck of silver in your hand. That's what you got left. And you're going, oh, here, Jesus, this is what I've done for you.
Yeah.
Amen. I don't want to be that guy. I mean, we're gonna see a big meltdown and be surprised that a lot of our stuff's not going to make it. But the more you do, and I'm not saying for salvation, we're saved by grace through faith and not of works, I know all that. But the more you get out of your comfort zone and do what God's called you to do, the ministry of reconciliation is not just being a smiley, happy person. It's telling people how to get saved. It's telling people how to get saved. And if you believe the book like I believe the book, and the book says, so then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, give them the word of God. You know. Probably the most overlooked thing in the independent churches is not the It's not the missionaries. It's not the tithing plate. It's the track rack. It's the track rack. And, you know, every once in a while we'll get somebody comes in here and they come in from another church and they'll get excited about it. They've handed out tracts and they get excited about it. And I'm like, man, if we could just get that excited and stay that way. Amen. About the opportunities we have. So we have a ministry of reconciliation. Yeah, I did tell you last week. I'll tell you again about the internet and all that stuff and the phone calls and the tech support and all that junk. And then that little girl on the other line, you know, we were on there for quite a while trying to figure out what was going on with the internet. And she says, I'm trying to fix it. And I said, let me ask you, do you go to church anywhere? And boy, she just unloaded about all her troubles. I said, well, you know what? Man will let you down. You'll even let yourself down, but God will never let you down. Told her about salvation through Jesus Christ. Wouldn't you like to know you're going to heaven when you went to bed tonight? She goes, I would. And I said, well, why don't you get saved now? She said, I will. She prayed right there on the phone, got saved. And from what we heard about the timeline of her marriage and her age when she was married and all, how long she's married, she's probably around 30 years old. But that girl's saved and she got two kids that'll probably be in church now. So why? Because the devil says, we're going to kick you in the internet. And God says, yeah, watch this. Amen. And I was upset about it. I still don't like our internet service. Amen. Probably never will. I don't even care. I want out of here anyway. We don't have to be here. We don't have to worry about internet in heaven. Amen. But the thing is, there's almost always an opportunity to do something for God. Amen. And it's just a lot of times the you know, the truck breaking down or whatever will open a door. I don't know how many times I got to witness at Advanced Auto Parts. That's what happens when your junk's getting junkier. But, you know, praise God. You go in there and witness to them. You know, you go in there and you're looking at somebody that looks like Satan's Christmas tree. They got stuff poked in them and sticking on them and sticking out of them and hula hoops in their ears and things poking out of their eyelids and everything else. And you're like, hey, man, you know what? Jesus Christ died for your sins. Would you read this? Hey, thanks, man. I appreciate it. And then sometimes I'm really surprised at the response, you know. And then the other side of that coin is the 85-year-old lady that weighs the same as her age, man, 85 years old, you know, and she wants to cuss you, and 85 pounds, she wants to cuss you and spit on you and tell you you're an heathen, and you're all a bunch of heathen, that's all a bunch of junk, you know. They don't believe any of that. That Bible's a fairy tale. You never know what you're going to get, you know. But pleasantly surprised in a good way most of the time, really. But the ministry of reconciliation. You know, it says there in verse 14, read this again with me. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. So the love of Christ constraineth us. Why do we do what we do? You know, again, I get it from the Amish, I get it from the Methodists, get it from the Presbyterian, get it from the Catholics, get it from everybody. You just think you're once saved, always saved, and you can just live like hell, and you can do whatever you want, and it's okay. No, you know what the Bible says? The love of Christ constraineth us. Because of what he's done for us. We love him because he first loved us. Because he's what he's done for us, not what he could do with us if we add our works to him, but what he has done for us. We want to do something to please him. We have free will. We want to give our free will to him and say, Lord, I want to serve you. It's a choice. And like we said before, God didn't create a bunch of robots. He said, now you're saved, now you're going to do exactly what I tell you to do. He says, you're saved, now you got an opportunity to serve me and please me. And that's the ministry of reconciliation. So to reconcile is you've got God over here. You have fallen man over here. And you have that cross that bridges that gap. So we take fallen man and point him to the cross with the words of God. And when he gets to the cross and he makes the decision, if he makes the decision, then man and God come back together. Relationship.
family. Adopted. Because of the word and the blood, the death, burial, and resurrection. So fallen man, without God, has no hope. Fallen man with God has eternal life. He's no longer fallen, he's been reconciled. I sold something on the internet, and somebody, I sent it to them and sent them a Bible tract in it, and they messaged me back and said, thank you for the quick shipping, thank you for the pamphlet. They didn't know what it was. Thank you for the pamphlet about God. I will start doing this too as we're nearing the end. So they're going to start putting tracts out. So I give them the places where they can get free tracts if they didn't have the money, or donate, or that they take and give donations to. But I mean, it's just little things like that that you see God's hand on. And I could probably 3 or 4 or 5 times in the last 10 years handed out a tract to somebody, and they go, oh, hey, you got any more of those? I've never seen these before. You got any more of them? And hand them a bunch of tracts, and they start handing them out. I mean, a lot of people, they go to church and they'd never seen a tract before. Isn't that something? Now, see, we take that for granted. We just think, well, you know, that's just the way church is. That's not the way church is. That's, most churches don't do that anymore. They really don't. It's about this country club feeling, where you get together and, oh, we're better than everybody else. We can get together and we can sing together. We can do that. Hey, we're dirt. If it wasn't for Jesus Christ, we'd all be in hell right now. And the only difference between us and them is we've got a Bible, and if you believe it and do what it says to do, you'll have rewards at the judgment seat of Christ, and they're going to be disappointed. But how much more disappointed would you be if you sat in a church that preaches the truth and you get to the judgment seat of Christ, you haven't done anything? And again, don't do it because I tell you to. Do it because you love the Lord. Think about what the Lord's done for us. You know, I mean, them plucking his beard from him, driving that crown of thorns in his brow, nailing him to that cross, sticking that spear in his side, spitting on him, ridiculing him, mocking him, casting lots for his clothes at the foot of the cross. You know, mocking him down there, you saved others, save yourself, and all that stupid stuff they said to him, all the ridiculous, mean stuff they said, not realizing they're talking to God himself. They said that to him. He went through that. He didn't have to do any of that. He was already in the highest position. He didn't, like, earn any favor anywhere He'd have to come down and say, I got to go a step higher. You know what he did? He had to take a step way, many steps lower to come down here to save us. Now, Jesus Christ earned everything the Father had given him by what he did on this earth. But he didn't have to come down and do that. He didn't have to come down and do that. All things are under his feet, and he's the Lord of all things, judge of all things, because of what he's done, because of that victory, his submission to the will of Father. But if you really think about what he's done for us, somebody saying, well, you know, whatever, that's good for you, whatever, you believe that fairy tale, whatever, that's nothing. That's not a big deal. I mean, I've had them stand from here to that corner and just spit right in my face when I sat street preaching. You know, just spit. And then get up and cuss and scream. I mean, a little spindly little 70, 80-pound skateboard kid, man, just get right in my face and just cuss and scream and spit, jump up and down like a, I don't know, like a little girl lost his toy or whatever. And just keep on preaching, man. Just turn and keep on preaching. Let him do his thing. What I'm not going to do is let the rest of the people watch and think that little girly boy is going to run the preacher off. Because Jesus Christ is more important than I am, and Jesus Christ is more important than that little spitting thing there. Matter of fact, if he gets saved, he'd be on the other side of that thing spitting truth. Amen. But that's what the devil does. And as a man, to have a 70, 80 pound, I don't care if he's 200 pounds, doing that, you know, my flesh didn't want to go street preaching anyway. And when it gets out there and something like that, that happens, my flesh isn't always on the right page. It's like, yeah, I could probably feed you that skateboard, but, you know, that probably wouldn't get you saved. So I'm going to give you some scripture, and I'm going to turn my back and go preach, and then if you come back with a skateboard, I might beat you with it. But no, I'm... But the thing is, you just got to take some stuff for the Lord. Amen. That's just the way it goes. But that's nothing compared to what he's done for us. Nothing. But you want to know what purpose is? Reconciliation.